This is our prayer for the afternoon service. Not sure if this is really considered to be phase two, but I think it is very proper for us to see ourselves in the work of the Lord. We closed this morning with the question of what is the primary sign of faith to the outside world. And now, what we have right now, this afternoon, may not seem like it is part of God's mission field, but it is. The outside world, which is our field, part of our field, you go to a job, you mix with people, you have contact with people, and it's what they see. If they're going to see anything, it'll have to be when you're out in the world. Maybe when you go to Walmart. Maybe we don't think about it that much, but do you know just giving a smile says something to the people in the world? There's a lot of people out there that are oppressed and in trouble, having sorrow and grief, and it's a little bit hard to make eye contact. Have you noticed that? You go in and you go to the store and you're busy. You're going from here, this department to another department, and you go get in line, and seldom do we even speak a word to anybody. Is that true? That happens. That's not to put any of us under accusation. But if we might become more conscious that the world is part of our field. It's not everything, but it's part of it. The world needs to be our mission. It needs to be our purpose. And it takes consciously making ourselves aware of that, I think. We become so engrossed in our own little world. I do. My world becomes closer and tighter the older I get. The busier you are, it becomes that way too. And so we need the Lord to help us to be awake, alert, made aware of people around us. I remember, and I wish this would happen more often, but have you ever been driving down the highway and look over and you see a car and the person driving? One day I was on the highway going to Guthrie, and there was a car that passed me, had one man in it. I don't know what he looked like. But the Spirit of the Lord said, pray for that man. Now, I prayed for that man at that time. And occasionally, down through the years, he's come back to my mind, and I might pray for that man. That's the work of God. God knew that man. He knew what was in his life. He knew his name. He knew his address. Another time, I was driving down Interstate 35, and here was a car broke down to the side of the road, and an older couple and a younger couple with a baby back up under the overpass, and they were Mexicans. And oh, I became so excited and animated wasn't very far from home. It was a hot day. I want to go home and get cold water to bring them a drink. And while I'm there, I'm calling Rosie and give me a lesson on Spanish right quick. I wanted this. And I was going to say it phonetically because I didn't know Spanish. I want to say to them, I want to bring you to my house and fix you a supper. And of course we get back over there and they're gone. And I look down the road and there they are, broke down again. And oh, I'm so excited. I get to still do this and I get up on the service road and I walk down to them and I'm trying to say this Spanish. And it turned out their daughter-in-law spoke English and I didn't get to use it. But that's the work of God, giving you a little vision and a little burden and a purpose. And I acted on it. Did I get to act on it? No. They said, we can't stay here. We're traveling with somebody. They're waiting for us down the road. You know, it didn't work. But I responded to something that moved me. And that's what we want to speak about this afternoon, is just being conscious of the voice of the Lord. Now, the voice of the Lord is a very still, small voice. And when you're young, like you young people, it will pay you to get acquainted with the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord does not always stay the same. The voice of the Lord, I've had the Lord speak to me plainly, almost like an audible person, voice. I've had that. But it hasn't always been that way. And it won't always be that way. Sometimes it's just an impression. It's just a feeling. And if we follow it, we'll find it was the voice of the Lord. To just do one thing at His command, you will be blessed and somebody else will be blessed. So I want to do John 13 and 35 again. And that particular scripture indicates obedience. Above everything that you and I do for God should have a bottom line of wanting to obey Him, to follow Him, to do His will, to know His will. We may not always know His will. Sometimes the older that you get, it's a little more difficult to know the voice of the Lord. But if we wait, waiting is a big part of the work of God. You get hasty in doing something what you think is for God, you're taking a big chance of a blunder. But if you wait, if you move slowly and wait on the Lord, and He tells us that, wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Did you know God is never too late? I've never found Him to be extremely early, but I have not seen Him be late. So, obedience. It's very important. Obedience to what He is saying for you in your life right now. At the stage of your life right now, we are of every stage of life across this little gathering here today. Where you are right now, you may be young, you may be trying to get the mind of the Lord. That's not bad. That's good. But don't be hasty. Don't move ahead of the Lord. You'll have that cart before your horse. Wait on the Lord. This particular scripture of John 13 and 35, which, if ye love me, ye will obey me. You will obey the commandments. And getting to know the commandments is all part of the work of God. Did you know that? It's not just get saved and get sanctified and baptized and start testifying and boom, I'm there. It just isn't that way. It takes growth. It takes growing in the things, in knowledge, in understanding. It takes study, and we're going to talk a little bit about study really just now, but it gives the proof. When we love Him and obey Him, it's the primary sign of our love for God and for His gospel. Do you love the gospel?
Yes.
Do you appreciate the simplicity of the gospel? Yes. Is it in your heart? And have you taken the word and eaten it? What did you find as you grew in knowledge and you ate the word of God? It was bitter when it began to digest. Oh, it was sweet in the tongue. In the beginning, wasn't it? Sweet as honey. But it got down in the belly of your spiritual life and began to work a work and began to say, you know, you need to be careful here. This is going to affect you if you ever are called to the work of God. And that becomes bitter, becomes a battle. We call them battles. Sometimes we call them trials, but they are to work for our eternal good and our good right here. It's to do something in me that helps me to, like we said this morning about being yoked up, take my yoke upon you. When you're yoked up, you're not pulling against it. You're working with God in that yoke or Christ, because you've taken that yoke yourself. So I'm going to say that the phase of development in the work of God is study. Study is extremely important in becoming. Well, I'm thinking of something Dennis said. Actually, it was on that afternoon service. He said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies them after they're called or something. Is that correct? Something. You want to repeat it?
Qualifies the call.
He what?
Qualifies the call.
He qualifies the call. And I have found that to be true. I'd been saved for years. I had been in the ministry for years when one day, listen to the voice of the Lord when you're praying. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, I want you to covet. What does the word of the Lord say for us to covet?
The best gifts.
The best gifts. There's one other thing that we can covet. And it says, covet to prophesy. I got a hold of that, only I did it after I tried to reason with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not qualified. And the Lord spoke those words to me. I will qualify you. Now, in the work of the Lord, we don't publicize, nor do we openly promote where we think we are going. It's to be secret. When things are done in secret before God, there will come a time it will be open. God will open up that thing and others will see it and recognize it and acknowledge it. But we don't go out and build a reputation. I didn't go and tell a soul what the Lord had spoken to me. I allowed the Spirit of the Lord to work in me for a long time. But I prayed about it. And I sought for it. And I asked, Lord, give me. And I asked for three gifts that I was inspired for. I still pray that way, and it's been many years. You know how I see that, how it fits in the work of God? It fits when it's needed. When there comes a place that gift is needed, God recognizes it. He understands what He's inspiring me to pray about. And it's in secret. So keep a secret life. Keep a life that is in the closet. It's part of the work of God. How He wants to work with us and in us. So study to show yourself something about you. And also to show you something about God and about His nature, His character, His purpose, His desires. All of those kind of things is part of studying to prepare to have a place in His kingdom. And so the Bible says that we should study to be also, this is a scripture, ready to wield this word of truth at a moment's notice. I don't think that's a scripture. I think I read that somewhere. So I correct that. But it links up with the scripture that says in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that will ask you. You know, you may not have a lot of people asking right now. Maybe not as many as we used to have. But be ready. And be prepared. If somebody should say, and how will they really say it? I don't look for them to really come up and say, do you have hope in you? I have never had anybody say that. But they see something and they say, what church do you go to? Generally, it's that question more than any other question. What church do you go to? And we're so often taken off guard. And sometimes we have a tendency to get into great details. We may even try to give doctrine when all we're needing to do is give a testimony of God's power to deliver. When we meet up with the world out there, and that's our field, speak on the level that they will understand. We are the church of God. We believe in this, this, and this. And they said, well, I'll tell you an experience I had one time. It was with a cousin, and one of our relatives had died, and this is maybe a little comical, but there is a lesson in it. So I was sitting by this person at lunch before the funeral, and And this cousin was ignorant about the truth and about the Church of God. Ignorant, had not been raised in it at all. But she said, well, where is the body? Do you know what kind of answer I gave? I gave her an answer, a long, lengthy answer on the body of Christ. Where the church was, what it represented. She dutifully listened to me and finally said, well, I really wanted to know what funeral home this person was at. Do you see how we can get so twisted in our own thoughts and take them down a road that they don't really learn anything? Let us answer for the hope that we have in us. I have hope of the gospel. I have hope of salvation. I have hope of eternal life. If they go beyond that with some questions, follow it through. But don't be too detailed, maybe we should say. I was so embarrassed. But in a way, after it was said and done, I said, oh, I'm glad that I told her about the church, because she didn't know. And she just dutifully listened. But it wasn't what she was asking for. So let's be careful. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that will ask you. Now, is that a key word? Don't walk up to somebody and say, do you wonder about the hope I have within me? Let others come and say, I see something here. What's different about you? Wait for the question, okay? Because that's what the word says here. Asks you the reason of the hope that is in you. And then I said, and do this with meekness and fear. Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 14, that's 16, 14 says, ye are the light of the world. This is the work of God. This is the fundamental work of God. This is before you might be over here doing major places, being placed in the body. It's just fundamental, letting your light shine when you really, you don't know how to let your light shine necessarily. But there should be something about our person that shows that we are different, that God's people are different. See? So you're the light of the world. And then verse 15 says, we put our candle on a candlestick that it gives light unto all that are in the house. And so that takes me then, I want to go to us being a light in our house. And I feel that this is the real fundamental foundation before I even go out and find a place of witnessing in the world. I must be a witness in my family, in my house. I must have a candlestick. I must have a candle lit and burning in my house. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our mission field and our home and our marriage and our family. I'm going to start with Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's see, here it is. And we may look at verse 25 to start off with. And I feel like this is so appropriate to start with the husband. And I was very impressed with the message of the wedding down in LaRonger and the things that Brother Dan said. And he addressed Lauren first, very appropriate. But it says in the fifth chapter and the 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One of the things that Dan said, no, it could have been somebody else that ministered during the week. I'm not sure about that, but it was said that a marriage is a great witness in a community. That people in a community, neighbors, even fellow family members know if you get along or not. If you're having trouble in your marriage, it's observable. It can either draw people or repel people. That's part of the work of God. Did you know it? Your marriage is part of the work of God in the earth. In your extended family, it means something. When they look at this couple and they see that this man has loved his wife in this way. You know, I had a great nephew that recently got married, and he was in his 30s. He had never been married before, but oh, I was so happy because he married a young woman that had never been married before either. And oh, my heart just swelled up. And you know what I did? I wrote him a letter about some of the things that I'm saying to you all today. He hasn't been raised in the Church of God, but that doesn't matter. He can find out how to love his wife through my advice. I have not heard back from him yet, but I'm hoping to. I told him before I sent it that I'm sending you a letter. And I hope it finds lodging in his heart. How does Christ love the church? How do you see the church is taken care of by Christ? First of all, he gave himself for it. The sacrifice was ultimate. For you as a man to deny yourself for your wife. I want to tell you, and I can't really repeat all of this. I don't have the actual song, but I know a man that wrote a song to his wife. And what he did when he was out in public, and how that when there was a temptation, he turned his eyes away. Turn your eyes away, men. Save yourself for your family. It goes beyond your wife. It goes to that child that's sitting there. I was looking back at Paul today. Josie was sitting on his lap. I'm telling you, there's not very long till she won't be able to do that. But do it while you can. Show that family the love of God, the love of Christ. That is the work of the Lord. And if you are doing these things, you're doing the work of God. You don't need to be saying, well, I didn't get to go to wherever. I didn't get to go to India. I didn't get... Wait on that. Fill these other places It's a commandment. The scripture goes on and says he wanted to present the church to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, young men, you have a responsibility.
Yes.
I want to tell you, you're a man. God created you in his likeness. And, you know, Adam was created first, and then Eve. And where, and I wrote my nephew this too, God took that bone from his side. He didn't take it from his foot. Where, well, you might think I can just walk all over her. No, he took it from that part closest to his heart. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. You will have a marriage that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And the neighbors and the people in the community, when you go to Walmart and they see that love for each other, it will have an impact. It will testify you are doing the work of God. This is before you get out here to go to whatever. Fulfill the commandments that you will be obedient, because God says, this is what I want you to do. I think about the message that was preached at the wedding down there and how appropriate that it was. But I had one thought. This word husband, do you know what it means? It means house band. It's from an old Anglo-Saxon word that literally meant a strip of metal used to bind the house together. Did you know you have that responsibility, men? Enter into your marriage when you get married, knowing that you are a man, that God has chosen to keep your family together. And that Brother Dan, he said it like this. He admonished them. He started out and he said, what kind of house will ye build me? You know, your home is represented as your house. And others are looking on. And when the enemy comes in and tries to say, oh, you don't do nothing. You don't do anything. You don't work for God. You're not. Resist the devil. Recognize I'm being obedient to God's plan and to God's work. I'm being a witness to the world. Listen, how many divorces do you think are out there every year, maybe? I don't know. They say about 50%. And when you look back at their wedding pictures, what do you see? You see smiles and happiness and anticipation and expectations and I've got a life we're going to live together and we're going to, don't you? That's part of that beginning. But God wants to take that marriage and bless it. That it be a witness to the world. The world out there. House band. God's created the man to be able to go into the world and face the pressures and the distresses and the temptations of the world. You're a man. And God has a special grace for the men. That you can go to a job and come home in the evening and you will have made a sacrifice with your eyes. I mean, not a sacrifice. A covenant. Have to excuse me sometimes. You've made a covenant with your own eyes for the sake of that little woman that is sitting at home. You know, Dan preached something to you men, and you know what he said? And he did to the women too. And then what did he say? He said, this works. This is what works. You have a desire, you have an interest in the work of God. You want to see the kingdom advanced. You want to see the church of God prosper. Do your part. Do your part. He'll lead you into other places as you develop and grow and learn. He'll lead you into other places. So, Brother Dan indicated that Lauren was the framer of the house. I liked that. And that the man is charged with providing for his household. And you know the Church of God stands for that. The Church of God stands for the man being the head of the home and going out. And what happened to Adam? You know what happened to Adam after the fall? He was commanded to go and work by the sweat of his brow. He was to labor for his family. There's plenty of work in God's kingdom for the men, isn't there? Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
There is. And God's pleased. He wants to bless every family, every home, every wife. He wants to bless the husbands. But this, you cannot be effective in the work of God with an ill-fitted marriage. That's not to be discouraging. That's saying, don't allow the enemy any place or right away. Guard. Men, guard your homes. Guard your marriages.
Yes.
So, there's another scripture before we move on. How did the wise man build? He built on a solid rock. He did not build on the sinking sand. And when the storms of life came, and they will come, there'll be testings and tryings, and it will happen, but the house will stand because it was framed up and built on a solid rock. Husbands, I'm going to give you 1 Peter 3 and 7. You live with your wife. And this is in my words. You give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Oh, I want to tell you, there's some strong women out there. They're able. They're mentally, emotionally, sometimes physically, able to do their part and more. And they love it. They love it. And yet, underneath it all, they are still the weaker one. I have ministered in this way, considering that being a woman, I am still subject unto the men. I hope you know that. I am a woman. I'm not a man. I don't want to fill a man's place. And I believe that God is calling for the women to be not handicapped as a weaker vessel, but to recognize the dependency that they need to have on their husbands. Is that wrong? Respect, honor your husband. Show honor to your husband. Are there every husband that deserves honor? No. But the scripture says that what you do, do it as unto the Lord. If we do these things as unto the Lord, it takes away the sting. I was giving my little counsel to Lauren and Patrice, and you know, some of it was what we've already read here. And she was on the phone too, and when I finished, she says, "Well, I guess I need to study the scripture that says to honor my husband as unto the Lord." I said, "That's a good one too. Do it because God said do it." And then it goes on and it says, "Remember this, husbands and wives. You are heirs together of the grace of life." There was a time you were two individuals. And you might say, "Well, we're still two individuals." You are. But when you vowed those vows, the scripture says you became one. And it says that you are joint heirs together of the grace of life. What does that mean? There is grace for you to live with your wife when she's a trial. Are wives sometimes a trial? Maybe so. Maybe husbands. But there's grace. And then it says, the reason why you do this is so your prayers will not be hindered. This is the work of God. Part of your work together is when the telephone rings and somebody calls and says, "We are in trouble and we need prayer," and the two of you don't have to separate and go off and try to straighten up whatever is over here. You can stay right there together. You can unite your voices together. And God blesses that. Oh, did you know I have chills going over my body? It works. You know what? I think we're going to stop there. There is so much more that is part of the work of God. But it's in our individual lives, day by day, growing, developing, understanding, enlightening, and becoming, you may not be, as was said, totally qualified. You won't be. There will be many, many trials and, I'm going to say, heartaches that will happen after you're called. It's all part of it. I think we'll stop there. I don't know how many more we'll be doing, but I'm not through. I'll just tell you that. I'm not through. Pray for me.